Business Insight, brought to you by Finders, recruitment and HR consultancy services at finders.ch.
Banks are either famous or infamous, depending on your view. They are either pillars of stability and secrecy.
What Swiss banks still have, and some other global banks wish they had, is clearly their private banking business.
Or havens for tax dodgers and bank clients wishing to remain unknown.
I think it's yet another ploy to protect banking secrecy.
Whether these perspectives are so cut and dried is probably unknowable, but what is certain for the financial powerhouse of Swiss banking is that changes are coming.
We are in a time of change right now, but I wouldn't bet anything on a certain direction.
I'm Tony Ganser in Zurich, and in this special report, we will hear perspectives from experts and officials on how Swiss banks of the past will not exist in the future. The stone headquarters of Switzerland's biggest banks, UBS and Credit Suisse, here in Zurich Center, don't let on to what is happening to the organizations inside. The global financial crisis of 2008 led UBS to be bailed out and policymakers to grasp to solve the problem of banks too big to fail. Increased pressure from the United States has forced banks to hand over client data of alleged tax cheats or be subjected to the long arm of American justice. And equal attention from cash-hungry European neighbors has eroded Switzerland's famed secrecy to a shadow of its former self. But what do these things mean for the Swiss bank of the future?
Quite honestly, no one really knows, and it's not easy to say Swiss banks will go in a certain direction. I'm pretty sure even Swiss banks do not really know it.
Peter Kunz is professor of business law at the University of Bern.
Right now, most of them try just to survive, being it in Switzerland as such, or being it abroad. So we are in a time of change right now, but I wouldn't bet anything on a certain direction.
What's the strength of Swiss banking? Was it the banking secrecy, or was it Switzerland's stability, would you say?
I would say the banking secrecy is undoubtedly one of the biggest assets Switzerland had. Of course, no one really can say how many billions of dollars or German Deutschmark, today euros, came to Switzerland for this protection aspect. But it was at least a big issue. On the other side, I'm pretty sure that the political stability, we have peace in Switzerland, we have a strong currency, are also additional assets of our country. These assets, I think, must be strengthened for the future, because the bank secrecy, as we have known it for the last 40 years, that's done. Bank secrecy for tax fraud and tax evasion reasons, that's done.
There's a big change which has happened to Swiss banking is transparency.
Oswald Grubel is the former CEO of Credit Suisse and UBS. He says it is not the financial crisis or tax deals that are putting the most pressure on Swiss banks.
It's transparency. We have created a transparency which I think the public cannot handle, actually. And we are frightened about the transparency, because what we hear is we didn't think that. And transparency replaces secrecy and trust. And I think if you would ask every banking client, do you actually want totally transparency from your bank, he would say no. Because total transparency means then as well that one day the client will be total transparent.
There were moves 30 years ago to stem money laundering, for example, through Swiss banks. But the reputation has stuck that, especially outside of Switzerland, people hear Swiss bank and it's a dirty word. Do you think it's unfair?
I think it's unfair, but that is some kind of legend building, and you can watch old Hollywood films of 30, 40 years and where this secret Swiss bank account was mentioned, and so you get that kind of image. In a way, it probably also has helped in times of stress to convince people that to bring some money to Switzerland to a safe place is a good thing, which has proven to be correct.
Switzerland is trying to clean up that image from Hollywood or anywhere else by devoting itself politically to a Weißgeldstrategie or clean money strategy. Mario Thur is spokesman for the State Secretariat for International Financial Matters, and he says a political shift came in 2009 when Switzerland adopted standards from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, or OECD, on allowing data requests in tax matters.
This was a change that we said we don't want to have undeclared money in Switzerland, and we do not tolerate that the Swiss banking secrecy is abused or misused for hiding undeclared money. So we have to take some measures that makes clear that we are the best place for the management or wealth management of declared money.
To this end, Switzerland has pushed for tax agreements with Germany, Austria, and the UK meant to offer a withholding tax on foreign clients of Swiss banks in exchange for maintaining client anonymity.
I think Switzerland is not a tax haven, depending on what you call a tax haven, of course.
Pascal Saint-Amand is director for tax at the OECD.
Switzerland has been, for decades, a strict bank secrecy state, meaning that when you had a bank account in Switzerland, except for criminal activities, the secrecy was protected. It's no longer the case. It's been changed a few years ago. The Swiss government has passed tax treaties as well as domestic changes in the legislation to allow for exchange of information. So Switzerland was a strict bank secrecy state. It's no longer the case.
Saint-Amand says there has been much progress in Switzerland's compliance with international standards, navigating a legacy of secrecy. But there is still a tension outside of Switzerland and even inside, caused by the fact the Swiss are maintaining secrecy at all.
They haven't yet deserved to lose the public impression around the world that Swiss banking secrecy remains a problem. And that public impression remains broadly correct. We've still got a long way to go.
John Christensen is with the London-based activist group Tax Justice Network.
The thing about transparency, of course, is that transparency keeps improving until the point where you can see nothing at all. That's the famous joke, but it's a work in progress. I think it's fair to say that we're seeing a strengthening of transparency on bank account secrecy. That's well and good, but what we're not seeing is improvements of transparency in other areas, particularly offshore companies and offshore trusts and offshore fiduciaries. And that's the next big step, because otherwise simply tackling bank secrecy will lead to a trend towards much, much more complex secrecy structures involving offshore trusts and offshore companies.
Christensen balks at some claims made by analysts and pundits to point a finger away from Switzerland to other countries, saying they don't have their own house in order when it comes to tax havens. Some U.S. states, for example, have incredibly easy processes to create shell corporations abroad. Christensen says instead of pointing fingers, though, he would like to see proactive measures.
Oh, there's no question about it. There's no doubt in my mind that Delaware, Wyoming, Nevada, Florida, all of these are terrible problems. It's good to recognize it, and I think it's important that these things are brought out into the public. But rather than say, look, we're not going to change and clear up our act until they've cleaned up their act, what I'd welcome is for Switzerland and the Swiss government to now say, okay, we will commit ourselves to pushing for best practice globally. I feel much happier about Swiss commitment to international cooperation when Switzerland signs up to automatic information exchange on the European Union's model.
Is that the threshold for you, then, automatic data exchange? You're not convinced by the Swiss government saying they have a Weißgeldstrategie, a clean money strategy now going forward?
No, I'm not convinced at all by that. I think it's yet another ploy to protect banking secrecy. Automatic information exchange is now the recognized global standard. It's the standard that G20 wants to push towards in order to prevent systemic tax evasion and illicit financial flows. Within the next 10 years, it's going to happen. The quicker Switzerland accepts it's going to happen, stops trying to block it from happening, the quicker we'll move forward.
Switzerland is moving quicker and stronger in at least one realm of banking reform, and that is the amount of capital or easily liquid assets a bank must hold. The so-called Swiss finish to international banking rules will require banks to hold capital worth an unprecedented 19% of risk-weighted assets. Former UBS CEO Oswald Grubel says this is another big change for bankers.
If you take higher risk, you need more capital to do that. So that does not allow them to speculate as much as in the past anymore. Now, if that is good, only future will prove. I think it will lead to a very long time of no economic growth whatsoever.
What do you think Swiss banks have to do to remain successful, competitive in the future?
I think Swiss banks first are successful, certainly the big two in comparison with the other international banks, and they are not less or also not much more successful, but they are successful. What Swiss banks still have, and some other global banks wish they had, is clearly their private banking business. But if you look at the biggest bank in private banking, UBS, they have only a fraction of the money really here in Switzerland of the private banking business.
Swiss banks, especially the big two, UBS and Credit Suisse, but also private bank Julius Baer, saw the turning tide, says Rainer Skierka, a banking analyst with private bank Zarrison in Zurich. He says looking at wealth creation in the last years, old Europe is stagnant and Asia and South America are growing, and Swiss banks were among the first to get to those markets, even if regulatory changes mean taking less risk.
What would you like more to achieve, at 15 to 20% return on equity with high risk, or 10 to 12% with low risk and much more quality and solvency behind you? I think that's the way to go from the capital position point of view. Then the business model has never been based on, and will never be based on hiding tax evasion money in your own coffers. It's more on quality, on the advantages of the Swiss finance place, the competency of the people, the staff. There are a lot of positive factors which simply will strengthen the place.
But even if the Swiss financial sector is strengthened, it appears banks look poised to shrink their size, at least in the short term. A recent study from the Back Basel Economic Institute, commissioned by the Swiss Bankers Association, showed the financial sector was set to shrink to just 5.7% of Swiss GDP by 2015, compared to 6.1% last year. It won't reach 6.1% again until 2020. For law professor Peter Kunz, Swiss banks need to keep their heads down to remain successful.
We have to be quite honest. Most of the times when there is a scandal going on, a Swiss bank is involved, in particular the big banks. So UBS and Credit Suisse are, in my view, a problem for the reputation of Swiss banking. That's very unfortunate because they are quite important to Switzerland. So I think, first of all, we must avoid any scandals. I think we also have to increase the compliance activities in Switzerland. The compliance activities are pretty good already, but probably the standards must be heightened. Of course, this will bring the costs skyrocketing high, but be that as it may, we must avoid any scandals.
Kunz says Switzerland is often underestimated or mislabeled in its vigilance in legal bank business because of its problems with other countries over taxes, but it was never a dirty money haven. It has long had strict rules on money laundering, and at least on paper, proposed tax deals with other countries are aimed at showing Switzerland of reality is not the Switzerland of legend. John Christensen at the Tax Justice Network says the move to legal above-board business should be no problem for banks if they can't be profitable while staying legal. He says they should get out of the business.
I think the early movers might be the big winners here, because savers are now looking for banks that are not only ethically sound, but also banks that are more efficient in the way in which they allocate investment. So I think the banks that move quickly to not only strengthen their ethical reputation, but also their practices more generally and their ability to invest profitably, they might be the banks that will shape the markets of the future.
But these structural changes in how Swiss banks operate also equate to breaking a covenant with clients. Former UBS CEO Grubel says years ago, clients were promised banking secrecy was safe forever, but that is no longer the case.
Is Switzerland still the heaven for money in difficult times or in times of uncertainty? That, I think, we will find out in the next big crisis. And if people still trust Switzerland to be safer than any other country, or do other countries emerge who have a better image in that regard?
You can find this piece and all of our coverage on Swiss banking, tax issues, and legislation at worldradio.ch. I'm Tony Ganser in Zurich. Thanks for listening.
Business Insight, brought to you by Finders, recruitment and HR consultancy services at finders.ch.
And you can